SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ah, the calm before the storm. Welcome to Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel breaking down the NFL draft. Scotty, there is no tomorrow, baby. We kick it off tonight, 8 p.m., and I think we know that Caleb Williams most certainly will be the first overall selection. But then there's rumors. Two, three, something's got to give, and I think we're in for fireworks later tonight.
You know, it should be a lot of fun, Joe. Let me throw something at you. I really have two scenarios, but I ad-libbed and made it another one.
Okay.
How about this scenario? Right? All right. Right away. We're going to make it. We're going to shock the world here.
All right. Good.
All right. You sitting down?
Yeah, I'm sitting.
How about you sitting? You ready? All set?
Yeah,
you and I both aren't necessarily in love with Caleb Williams, right?
Correct.
Or Drake May. But we do like, obviously, Jalen Daniels.
Right.
How about either Washington or maybe a little bit easier, Chicago? Chicago is screwing things up. Chicago drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. with the first overall pick, knowing they have the 9th overall pick. And if you believe what the boys in Vegas say, Bo Nix and Michael Penix should still be there. And then now you got your big time wide receiver, and you got yourself a big time supposedly quarterback.
Yeah.
Washington, let me throw Washington real quickly. Washington does the same in that they take Marvin Harrison Jr., and then they wait until the second round. You know, they get the 4th overall pick. I don't know why they had the 4th overall pick, but they do in the second round, not the second. You would think it would be the second since they have the second in the first, but anyway. And then go, same thing, draft either Knicks or Penix. And again, according to the draft, Knicks both could be there because their over-under numbers are right around 32.5. And now you get the best wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah, if that were to play out, you should go right to your local deli, store and buy 15 lottery tickets for calling that. Because, Scott, I hate to say this. We say this on Carver and Lisi. No shot that's going to happen. Absolutely
not. Why not, though? Why not?
All right, so right, let me say this.
I can give you 1,000 quarterbacks. I can give you 1,000 quarterbacks that have been taken, whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's Mitch Trubisky. You know, all these
agree.
So go against the grain and get the best wide receiver. You know, generally wide receiver, especially Marvin Harrison, his father's a Hall of Famer, right? He's going to be great.
But wouldn't you rather
have Justin Jefferson than Trevor Lawrence? Yeah. Let me ask you this. If Trevor Lawrence and Justin Jefferson are both available, who are you taking? Right now, who are you taking?
I would take Justin Jefferson. Better body of work, more consistent.
There you go.
Okay, I would agree with you. Hang on. You're absolutely right in terms of that breakdown. I would agree with you 1,000% that potentially you might have a 1% shot to allow that to happen if, in fact, they kept their quarterback, Justin Fields. I mean, why would Ryan Poles let and ship Justin Fields to Pittsburgh to take Marvin Harrison, number one overall, and still not have a quarterback? That would be the most asinine thing I have ever heard. Not you. I'm just saying that if they were to do that, he would be the worst GM in the history of the NFL.
But they have a 9th pick also, Joe. They could get Knicks or Penix at 9, or maybe McCarthy at 9.
You would get away from a proven, at least somewhat, commodity that won your team 7 games, has actually went through the growing pains, okay, has developed with DJ Moore, and now you add Keenan Allen to that offense, and then you're going to ship him out to take Marvin Harrison when they should have did that last year to develop him? No, absolutely not. There's no shot that's happening. Caleb Williams is minus 30,000 to be taken as the overall selection, right? So there's no shot that Caleb's not going to be number one overall. I will say, I've been saying this, and I know you too, Jaden Daniels to me is definitely cemented as the second overall pick. He got a as high as minus, I believe, 1050 about a night ago. He settled in right now on FanDuel at minus 750. And Drake May, I think, is plus 260 to be the second overall pick. And I've said this about Josh Harris, and I've said this about the organization. Again, they'd be absolute idiots if they started the new regime after they get and erase all the negativity of Dan Snyder for the last 22-plus years, and you're going to start your franchise selling the fan base on Drake May or J.J. McCarthy when you have a Heisman Trophy winner staring you in the face, and they haven't had an electric quarterback since Robert Griffin. So, I mean, they'd be idiots to not take Jaden Daniels. The question is, what happens at 3, 4, and 5, Scotty?
Well, how about this? I have a site that I look at that is always sharp, Joe. Always, always, you know, ahead of the game, right? And so I'm going through the draft numbers, and I don't know, maybe I haven't been paying enough attention. I understand J.J. McCarthy is moving up the ladder, right? But you know what number they have for J.J. McCarthy for draft position?
I think it's, was it 13 and a half I saw? Or maybe I'm wrong.
That's what I figured, right around there, right? 5.5. And the over is plus money. Now, this site is, like I said, this site is always shrewd. You know, if a football game is 5, we'll say,
right,
they have it at 6.5, and I'll be damned if that favorite doesn't cover 85% of the time. Not always. So why do they have that him at 5.5?
Yeah.
Is he going that high?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's the scenario that you and I had talked about. I believe it's going to go Caleb, Jaden Daniels. In my opinion, there's no doubt. Jaden Daniels, I believe, is the best quarterback in this class, but we could argue that at another day. I have said from the start of the offseason that I believe the one player in this draft that I believe is going to fall out of the top 5 is, in fact, Drake May. I don't believe his body of work. I don't think he stepped up against elite competition. He's been inconsistent as it relates to completion percentage. So I've seen reports every mock draft that, you know, New England's dead set on Drake May. If they go J.J. McCarthy number 3 overall, you know Arizona's not going to take a quarterback unless they trade out. So then Harrison falls to Arizona. Now you're talking the Chargers. They're not going to draft Drake May at 5 overall. Maybe they trade out potentially with New York. But if you're New York, why are you going to trade with L.A. when you know that they're not taking a quarterback, right? So you know that Drake May could fall to you at number 6 overall. He's a 22-1 shot to be 6th taken in this draft.
That could happen. I just don't understand why McCarthy is 5.5. Who's in love with J.J. McCarthy?
Minnesota?
Right. And the Chargers are going to trade out. That's what that tells me. They know. You watch tonight. Chargers trade out, Minnesota, or someone moves up, but Minnesota supposedly loves him, and they draft him 4th overall, and that ends up being an under.
That would be the bet. And again, I have said this time and time again. It's not a knock on J.J. McCarthy. It's not that I don't believe he could be a first-round talent. But if you're taking top 2 or top 3, that player needs to be a franchise-esque type of quarterback. From what I've seen out of J.J. right now, I potentially don't believe that. I still think, based off the physical attributes, he could be a late first-rounder. But if Minnesota covets him that much, put it this way. I believe J.J. McCarthy is going to be a much better pro than Drake May. So if you're buying into that narrative, then yes, you would take J.J. under the 5.5, Scotty.
Yeah, I guess so. If that's what you think. I don't think either one's going to be any good, to tell you the truth, or at least, you know, maybe I haven't seen enough of J.J. McCarthy, but I wouldn't take him in the first round. I'd just as soon take Penix Jr. in the first round or Nix in the first round. And if that's the case, and we can get into this again, the over-under on quarterbacks taken is 4.5. How does that make any sense? Oh, yeah, it's heavily juiced, but how does that make any sense if McCarthy's number is 5.5?
Oh, I believe it. And there's been, you know, rumors about 7 quarterbacks potentially being taken. Yeah. We'll come right back and talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And we're back, continuing the conversation of the NFL draft. Kicks off tonight, 8 o'clock to midnight, but Sports Grid will have their coverage a half an hour early. Myself, Ben Stevens, Kevin Walsh, Adam Kaplan, Warren Sharp, and Mike Blewett will be live at 7:30 Eastern Time covering and breaking down the NFL draft later tonight. So tune in. We'll get you locked and loaded for all the top 10 picks. Scotty and I were in the break talking about potentially J.J. McCarthy. He's a 5.5 total in terms of draft selection juice to the under, which would lead you to believe that he is in the top five. If you want to take a shot that he falls out of the top five, it's plus 120. So they're dangling the carrot, Scotty. But I just told you, I locked in on Drake May, 6th overall. I believe he's the quarterback that's going to fall out of the top five. Nobody seems to be talking about it. But again, if J.J. is the hot commodity, and we know where Caleb and Jaden are, and we know the draft position of both the Chargers and Cardinals respectively, right? The Giants don't technically have to trade up to number four to potentially maybe get Drake May. And that's the other thing too, Scott, that we could talk about. Are the Giants necessarily at the sixth overall selection going to select the incumbent to Daniel Jones now when Shine and Brian Daboll have basically their backs against the wall? Win now, win immediately. You need to make at least a playoff run and challenge Dallas and the Eagles. Is that the mindset for this organization that has no offensive skill weapons after shipping Saquon out the door? Maybe Wandale Robinson, but outside of that, the cupboard is dry.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily lock in on a quarterback for them. It's plus 150 in one of the sites here that I look at for them to draft a quarterback. Wide receiver is still minus 230. I think, listen, they do have this year only left guaranteed money on Danny Nichols, as I call him's contract, but they have him locked in for two more years. And this is the same regime that signed him before last season. So I don't know if they necessarily just quickly did like, okay, you know what, we love you, now we hate you so soon. Especially Daboll, right? I mean, Shane maybe probably, gets another quarterback to draft since he didn't draft him, but they're under pressure. They're under a lot of pressure to win now. So they're not in a position to say, let's go draft a quarterback. Unless they really love Drake May, and then according to your scenario, he does drop to them, and they're like, you know what? We could push Jones out, and we can bring in May, and we can show some promise, and we could all keep our jobs for next year because we drafted a quarterback that's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I think they're more inclined to go wide receiver.
I think so, too. I mean, there were earlier talks about Malik Nabers being there at number 6. I potentially don't see that, especially if Arizona does, in fact, stay at number 4 and they draft Harrison, that Calvin Johnson type of player. And if the Chargers stand pat, well, you wouldn't have shipped Mike Williams and Keenan Allen out the door if you potentially didn't have a backup situation or scenario about either Malik Nabers or another one of these wide receivers, right? So let's just assume that's the case. Let's say Harrison at 4, Chargers stand pat with Malik Nabers at 5, right? Now there's two of the top wide receivers off the board. What happens with a team like Buffalo that's in desperate need of a wide receiver, right? What happens with the Giants overall? You're sitting at number 6. Do you trade out if Nabers goes? Like, because if you're Daboll and Shine, you got to believe that you want Nabers if you can't get Harrison or Nabers, what are you going to do? I mean, potentially, if I was the Giants, it's probably not worth the value based off the risk-reward. But Brian Thomas is there at 6'3", 215. I think he's just as good as both of those players. I potentially would take Brian Thomas as a top 10 pick, right? He's 20-1 now to be that. I already bet that. But, I mean, what do you do if you're the New York Giants? You're going to take Drake May and say, you know what, we'll win in 2 years? You need to win now.
Yeah. How about if the Vikings called you, right? And then said, we'll give you our two number ones for your number one. And maybe, just maybe, you can get the Vikings to throw in like a fourth rounder, fifth rounder, a little extra bonus next year. Would you take that? I think I would. I think I would. Listen, the over-under on wide receivers, 5.5, 6, 6.5, depending on where you do your shopping. So there are a number of good wide receivers. And you look at the big-time wide receivers. You know, a lot of these guys were all drafted later on, not the number one wide receiver taken off the board. These guys can all do great in the NFL. I love Neighbors, love Harrison, but, you know, some of those other guys who figured to still be there with the Vikings first-round pick, I'd make that deal if I were the Giants. Definitely.
Well, I mean, if you're going to, I mean, but here's the thing, though. If, let's just say, right, JJ goes third overall, okay? If you're the Vikings that have coveted JJ, what do you do then? See, I actually think it's the Vikings that trade with New England. I don't think New England's in love with McCarthy or Drake May in any capacity. I think Mayo and the new GM are willing to trade out because they're in a position, they're worse than the Giants. They're in a major rebuild, right? So why not get multiple picks to solidify both sides of the football and have Minnesota or another team, maybe even the Raiders, that trade up to get McCarthy or another selection? I mean, I think it's three where the dominoes fall, not necessarily at number five or six.
How about the now? Listen, it's only internet, and people could just make stuff up. But you know, I am still curious on why McCarthy is 5.5. He was like second round material a month ago. Now he's 5.5. How about the internet goofy rumor the Chargers trade Justin Herbert to the Vikings? They draft McCarthy Harbaugh's
in love. No way.
This was right next to my, you know, the Bears take Harrison, rumor. But it would explain. I'm telling you, this dude is going in the top five. He's got no business being 5.5. The boys in Vegas, who always know ahead of everybody else, know something. So it's either going to be the Chargers at 4, the Vikings moving, or 5, Vikings moving up. But that was the latest buzz. They trade Herbert, and they take him at 5.
Oh, the rumor mill always swirls on draft night. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFL draft. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back, continuing the conversation in the NFL draft. I love this type of talk, Scotty, because it's pure speculation, right? Even though there's NFL insiders talking to these NFL organizations, again, they'd have to be complete morons to tip their hand, especially when you have franchise quarterbacks potentially in the mix. And we saw, out of all the gurus last year, right, how many were bashing C.J. Stroud? How many people had C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson going 2-3, but to the same team? In terms of the Houston Texans, right? Nobody saw that in terms of how that situation played out as it related to the trades that we saw last year. What was it? Did we have 6 last year in the first round? There were a number of different trades, and I think we're going to see that as well. I do believe 3 is open with the New England Patriots. I believe 5 is open as well. And then it really comes down to team need. I believe once you get past the Atlanta Falcons, it's anywhere from basically 10 to 22. There's a number of different players that could fit multiple voids.
Yeah, when you have so many offensive linemen, it's a deep O-line draft. It's a deep wide receiver draft. You know, when you have those positions, no matter what position it is, there's always the thinking, all right, you know what, there's 4, 5, 6 of these guys that we really like. You know, throw a coin up in the air. So we can move down. Everyone's looking to basically move down. Unless you need a quarterback, then you're looking to move up. And there's enough teams that need quarterbacks, and there's enough, you know, depth in some of these positions that it's like, okay, we may not go get Joe Walt, but we'll go get Joe Schmo instead. You know, we right. may not get Dunze, but we'll go get Billy Bob instead. He's going to be just as good. They all run 4.240s nowadays, right? So we might as well move down and go get some draft material. So it is. is funny, John. I went on NFL.com, and they have like four or five different guys that do their mock drafts, and they're all different. You know, one guy had four quarterbacks taken in the first round. The next guy had six in the first 13 picks. I mean,
right.
And these are like so-called insiders. Nobody is revealing their real thoughts to the media or to any insider. I just don't believe it.
You'd be an idiot. You really would, because when right. you know and you see what teams are willing to give up to potentially get that type of commodity or quarterback, right, it really matters. And we also know as well, you're not going to trade with a division rival, right? I mean, the Giants aren't going to trade with the Cowboys or Eagles or Commanders, right? So realistically, which team is in the mix to potentially maneuver and make those type of adjustments and put themselves in a position? I said it before. I think the team that's going to be on the move, and they really haven't discussed it a lot. We hear about potentially the Raiders, you know, in some rumors. We hear about Minnesota. I honestly believe it's Sean Payton and Denver. And the reason why I say that is I keep going back to the fact that I do not believe if you painted a picture, this is the way Sean Payton, when he was sitting back in his ass in the seat at Fox collecting 10 plus million a year and said, you know what? Just come waltzing back on the sidelines. He thought he would just wave his magic wand and he'd be back in the playoffs. Now he has no quarterback. He's in a major rebuild. He shipped out his best players like Jerry Jeudy to Cleveland. Where is this team going? So when you're Pat at 12, 13, wherever Denver is right now, you're not going to get the top quarterback. You're not going to get a guy that could potentially plug and play immediately. So I believe they're a team, just like Minnesota, that maybe catapults into the top five because I don't think Sean Payton wants to do the work.
Well, it all depends on who you think are the better quarterbacks, right? I mean, these quarterbacks, some of these guys are dropping. You know, Penix Jr., his over-under is 32.5. And again, just going on what the boys in Vegas say, Bo Nix, 32.5 as well. So, you know, juiced certain guys going this way, that way. But bottom line is Denver at 12 is more than likely going to have at least one of those two, if not both of those guys. Or maybe, you know, they love Spencer Rattler. If we're not in love with Drake May, you're never going to move up into the top two spots, right? Right. I mean, unless you want to give Washington five first-round draft choices, a little RG3 trade, but those two guys are going number one, and everyone else is, you know, picking the litter. Which guy do you like? So I could see Denver standing pat at 12.5, or 12, rather, and go getting a quarterback that they could sell. I mean, they have to get a quarterback, right? I mean, this goes back to the quarterback total, Joe. I mean, listen, nobody wants to lay minus 380. I get that on a bet, but the quarterback total taken in the first round is 4.5, over is minus 380. I can't come up with a scenario, especially now that J.J. McCarthy's numbers is 5.5. He's going. How are we not getting five quarterbacks in the first round? It's almost unthinkable.
You tell me. I can't see it either. And I see Rattler as being a top two selection in the second round. We'll come back. More NFL draft. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Days, what can you really depend on? What's really going to be there for you tomorrow and the next day?
We know that trust takes time.
And we earn your loyalty every day.
By giving you the winning edge.
Keep it here.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
The Dallas Cowboys picked up the fifth-year option on Micah Parsons today. That was expected. We'll see if they could sign him to a long-term deal. Scotty, that goes right into our conversation that we were having in terms of the break. We talked about Dallas picking 24th overall. We talked about it earlier in the week. Do they go potentially with another heir apparent to Dak Prescott, especially if Prescott can't lead them to the promised land NFC championship and they bow out in the first round of the playoffs yet again? Again, we were up in arms saying, maybe, possibly, I would take a quarterback maybe in the second, third, or fourth round that if you want a potential backup, right? We know they're going all in with Dak Prescott. They also have Trey Lance that they could throw in there. But running back is interesting, and I talked about it in the break. 60-1 for the Cowboys to draft a quarterback at 24 overall. And the reason why I say that is they passed up on Derrick Henry in the offseason. He actually thought it would be a great fit. They never picked up the phone. I talk about how Jerry Jones and the organization has drafted very well. CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard in recent years, right? Dak and obviously Micah Parsons. What if they take a shot and realize that the only running back worth taking a poke at is Braylon Allen, 6'1", 235, 240. He bench presses 225 26 times. I think it's a down running back class. We've talked about running backs breaking into the top 32. We saw Rashad Penny do it back 5 years ago. What do you think about Dallas at 60-1 to get an heir apparent to potentially Tony Pollard?
I think that's a pretty good play. You know, I could definitely. It was weird how they showed no interest. Not even like call up, you know, get a price and just say that's too much. If you believe Derrick Henry, he came out and said nope, they didn't even call me, and I was interested. And the dude lives in Dallas. You know, he would have loved to have gone back, home and been able to play at home. So that tells me. And even Mike McCarthy, I was saying in the break that I read a quote from him from Tuesday's press conference about how he said, yeah, we better go get one of these running backs. So they're clearly in the market for a running back. Now, will it be in the first round versus second, third, or fourth? You know, that's why you're getting 60-1. We're betting on the yes. We've seen him do it with Zeke. You know, if he loves a guy, you know, he's not afraid to draft a guy in the first round, running back wise. So at 60-1, you know, listen, does it make a whole lot of sense drafting these guys? No, but that's why it's 60-1. It's worth a hunch, couple of shots. $10 is going to net you $600. I'll put, $10 on that play. Why not? It's Jerry. Yeah, you never know.
I agree. You never know. And they've been pretty good in terms of these skilled talent, right? You can't say they haven't. Yeah. I mean, outside of Micah Parsons, which was, again, a great pick, and people bashed them when he picked them. CeeDee Lamb, right? I mean, one of the best wide receivers. Tony Pollard took over for Zeke. He's no longer with the team, but still, during his duration there, was a very productive player. Jake Ferguson, they drafted,
Cooper.
Right? Right?
Cooper,
so,
had good years there.
Yeah, I mean they traded for Cooper after the Raiders, but you're right. Okay. I mean, they have done a great job transitioning, and the fact that they didn't pick up the phone, that they have Rico Dowdle. Now Dowdle's good, but he's not turning the world on fire in terms of, you know, you're gonna get 1,500 potential all purpose yards out of Rico Dowdle this year.
Yeah, they have to do something in that backfield. Again, what you need to have is one, maybe just maybe one of those other running backs, maybe Brooks, who's the odds-on favorite to go, get drafted in front of Dallas. And then Dallas says, maybe we're going to get a crazy run. Who knows a running back? We better go get our guy in the first round. We better not wait until the second round, because by the time second round comes, you know, the top three, four guys might be gone. That's what you need, little luck, in a 60-1 ticket to cash. But I don't think it's that crazy. I really don't. I don't think they're taking quarterback. I really don't. That would be a weird sign. A whole, why bring, McCarthy back? Why bring Dak back when you're going to tell the whole world, listen, we're going to move on? And I got a feeling they still think Trey Lance is halfway decent. They gave up a fourth round pick for Lance last year. You know, it's not a first or second rounder, but I think they probably have their quarterback in the future on their roster right now in him.
And it goes into consideration when you think about the quarterbacks that were taken, 4 years ago? Mac Jones, right? Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. I mean, collectively, how are they doing as a group right now? So when you hear the names of Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, we know that all five, six, or seven, whoever goes in the first round, aren't all going to hit the ground running. Right, there's going to be train wrecks, whether it be, Caleb, or whether it be another one of these guys. Somebody's not going to live up to expectations, and the team is going to regret reaching up and grabbing one of these players.
Yeah. I tell you, we did that yesterday. We looked at some of the quarterbacks that were taken in the first round over the last 5-6 years, me and George, and it was an equal split, but there were just as many complete busts as there were not necessarily home runs, but good players, you know, the Trevor Lawrences of the world. Not great yet, but, you know, good enough. But there were a lot of mistakes in the first round. It is amazing when you go back and look. I'd love to see, you know, what did they have on this guy? You know, what was it about? I'll just throw Zach Wilson out there since he got traded the other day.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
What about Zach Wilson? You know, or Mitch Trubisky? You know, all these others.
The story with Zach Wilson, Scott, was that Joe Douglas was in his office, okay, came out, I believe, in the Daily News or New York Post when they drafted him, and Joe Douglas was watching BYU play Dana Holgerson and Houston on a Thursday or a Friday night, and he was enamored. He just became captivated with the way Zach Wilson carried himself in leading the BYU Cougars against Houston. That was in the COVID year when they were basically 11-1, when they lost to Coastal Carolina. The problem was, Joe, is that Houston had one of the worst pathetic defenses in all of college football that year. If that's what you're watching to make a number two overall selection, give me the GM job now.
That's funny. That's the same as Dave Gettleman when he was asked about Danny Nichols. He said, I was watching the Senior Bowl, I believe it was, one of those, you know, post-bowl games. I think it was the Senior Bowl. And, I just got in love with Daniel Jones and this and that. And then I looked it up, and Daniel Jones had two drives. One was three and out, and another one was, like, for a touchdown, but it wasn't because of what he did. Like, they ran the ball five times. I mean, it's like, that's what's got you enamored on Daniel Jones. So, yeah, some of these GMs just, they lock in, man. You think it's a science, and you think they're so much smarter than you, but when they're hell-bent on drafting a guy, then they're hell-bent on drafting a guy.
So. You're right, but I think recent years, right, the two quarterbacks that stand out for me, and we'll forget Mahomes, right, because Mahomes is the outlier on how great he really is, but outside of Mahomes, Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts, in terms of really living up to expectations, and I understand Hurts had a down year last year, but you're still talking about two young quarterbacks that led their loser organizations, right, to the Super Bowl immediately from the time that they came in. So those are the positives in terms of the recent draft picks, and Jalen was a second-round pick, so he didn't even go in the top 32.
Yeah, and like, why? You know, and you look at that draft, like, what made Tua for the Dolphins better than Justin Herbert? Like, I mean, and we all, I think most people as a consensus would rather have Justin Herbert than Tua Tags. But, you know, that's how the draft order went. So why? I mean, I don't understand, Joe. I accept the fact it is. I said this the other day. I accept the fact that it's hard to draft guys because you just miss. I understand that. What I don't know is why. You know, if your job is to analyze talent, and that you've been doing that for 10, 15, 20 years, and you've been hanging around NFL players, you have to have a sense of what it takes to be an NFL player. You're talking to these guys. You're watching game films. You're going to combines. You're going to pro days. You're having dinner with these guys. You're meeting their families. I don't understand why there are so many misses. I don't get it.
Well, I think part of it is they talk to the coaches, they talk to other people close to the organization, and either they get a positive or they get a negative, like they're trying to bash Michael Penix right now. We saw that last year with C.J. Stroud. Coming right back, more NFL draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Draft less than 8 hours away. Coverage starts at 7:30 Eastern time right here on Sirius Channel 159 and Sports Grid TV. Me, myself, Ben Stevens, Kevin Walsh, Adam Kaplan, Warren Sharp, and Mike Blewett take you around the clock. Scott, we talked about some draft specials, and you're in love with Bo Nix. We talked about Bo Nix potentially being a top 15 pick. His number's in the area of 32.5. They do have a draft special, and I talked about it, about Sean Payton. Denver to draft Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. plus 135. Are you grabbing that?
Yeah, I would take that because I think the main guys will be gone. And I would do, listen, more than anything, you're not getting great, great odds on that. So I would just bet the under 32.5. And Penix Jr., same thing, 32. And those guys are not lasting into the second round. No way. No, I think the boys in Vegas got caught with their pants down, Joe. I really do. I think they posted an early line, quarterbacks taking first round 4.5. And then they realized, oh, my God, we effed up. You can't go to 5.5 with this stuff because then they're creating a monster middle. Like, one player is huge when it comes to, you know, number of players drafted. So what do? They say, we effed up, so we just got to keep on bumping up the VIG. This way we stop the over 4.5 money coming in. And I don't know how they envision Knicks going 33 or later. Same thing with Penix Jr., but I would be shocked. I really would. So I wouldn't even necessarily, because you're not getting great, great money on that. You know, if it was like 3-1 for a guy to go to your team, then okay. But I just assume, all right, you know what, I'll deal with the even. Like Bo Nix, side I looked at, is minus 130 for the under. Penix Jr. is a little bit more juiced, minus 330. But I'd bet they're over-unders versus which specific team drafts them.
Okay, let me take it a step further. Here's one bet I made last night, small. Nothing crazy on these specials because you're really flipping a coin, right? You don't know where some of these teams draft, especially if trades take place. But I believe all three of these teams do need defensive help. So I'm going to throw it out there. It was the Lions, the Packers, and the Eagles all to draft cornerbacks with their first selection. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a first-round selection. Could be second. They could trade out. It could be their third-round selection. As long as it's their first, 10-1 odds.
That's interesting. So it doesn't have to be the first round. It just has to be their first selection.
Correct.
That's a little wrinkle in there.
Well, because I don't think the Eagles have a first round right. Pick, right? So some of these teams don't have a first round pick, could be the second round, but they're all in defensive need, right? We know that Detroit wants defensive help. Green Bay could always help. They beefed up the offense with all the playmakers that they added for Jordan Love. Right, if they're going to take the next step, and the Eagles obviously have a number of different holes to fill in the secondary, so at 10-1, I made the bet.
Yeah, that's okay. I got the Eagles at 22, but that my list is from a couple months ago, so maybe they
okay. You might
that,
be right. You might be right. Yeah. I'll double check. Maybe it wasn't the Eagles. It was. Is it the? I got to double check. The Lions or Green Bay? One of them, I don't believe, has a first round pick. They pick in the second round. So I'll get you that in a couple of seconds. How about this one? You ready? This is the other one I made. I made. One running back and five quarterbacks to be selected at 10-1.
Ooh, I like that. You know, to me, you're going to get the quarterbacks. It's all a matter of will you get a running back. So running backs at this one site I'm looking at, over under is a half, and it is plus 750. All right, so you're buying yourself an extra 250 points at 10-1. That's what, well, listen, like I said, I think hands down they're going to have five quarterbacks, so will you get a running back? It's rare we don't get one running back. You know, Joe, there's always, so you know, between 25 and 30, 20 to 30, there's always some team that just thinks that they're going to make this great choice. Because the problem this year with running backs, I know it's going to sound goofy, is you don't really have like a public guy. You know, you don't have one guy that everybody knows that brings a little bit more to the table than just, okay, he's a running back. We don't need a running back. We'll get one in the second, third, fourth round. But, you know, he's a stud. He's a big name. He's a Zeke Elliott. You know, you don't necessarily have a guy like that. But I think there'll be one team that will get one. So 10-1 rather than the plus 750. I like that.
All right, here's another one. And I don't think this one will happen, but you ready? An NFC West team to draft a quarterback with their first pick. It's not going to be San Francisco. Could it be the Rams? Could it be Arizona? Could it be Seattle?
Could be Seattle.
5-1.
You know, they brought the kid in from Washington, so you wouldn't think it would be Seattle. I think it could be the Rams. Matthew Stafford's in the last year of his guaranteed money. So he's up there in age. The Rams, you know, they made some moves last year, and they actually kind of got themselves back onto the forefront. They're like pretty good. Okay, made the postseason. So they are an up team or are they a down team? They're kind of weird. I could definitely see the Rams being the one.
Is it worth the value at 5-1? I think it is. I mean, 5-1, you get a little protection. I mean, first overall selection. You know, who knows? You know, it comes down to if you're San Francisco, maybe they trade out. You don't know what happens and who's willing to wheel and deal depending upon how the top five picks go. The whole draft and the way it falls sometimes is a domino effect. The first three or four ultimately could dictate the next 28 or 29 picks and beyond, right? Because if there is a shocker in the top five, or like we saw last year with Will Levis falling out of the potential first round and going top of the second round, that's where teams either will stay pat if they realize a player is dropping, right? So that is, I am curious to see what does transpire tonight. How about this for the Jets and Giants? We talked about immediate help. Giants and Jets to both draft a wide receiver tonight. You like that? Now they've been in the talk 6-1, yes or no?
I was going to say, what are the odds? I would say yes.
Really?
I think the Giants definitely will. And I can see the Jets, still kissing Aaron Rodgers' ass. Yeah.
Oh, they might go tight end with Brock Bowers.
Tight end,
we'll
does that count?
And wrap it up. Doesn't count.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping it up, it always flies when Scotty and I are talking NFL draft or college football, nothing better, just on the horizon, but it kicks off tonight with the NFL draft. Scott, more draft props, and I know you like these, right? Local spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles first selection, O-line even money, cornerback at +115, wideout 35-1, or defensive edge rusher, +430. You think they go in that route, or do they go safety at 65-1 or linebacker at 50-1?
Yeah, you know, with what's-his-face retiring and Lane Johnson being 1,000 years old, it's you know, you hate to go with chalk, even money, but it's got to be an offensive lineman, doesn't
Still
it?
Still not that know? Bad, right? Even money?
Yeah.
Not that bad. I mean, you know, depending upon who's available at 2022.
Yeah, when you consider some of these other teams and some of the situations that, you know, -100 or 150, 200, 300, whatever the case may be. Yeah, I mean, even money, but that would be the case, right? I mean, Lane Johnson's old and, you know, Kelsey retires, that offensive line banged up. They need some help on the O-line. So I would go O-line there for even money.
Yeah, how about this? Total number of defensive players taken in the top 10 picks. Over a half, -1100. You want to take a shot that there's no defensive players in the top 10? It's +550. +550. That's great value. I'm going to take a shot.
I don't know if there will. You know, over under defensive players is 10.5. I was going to throw that one at you. I don't think we're getting 11 defensive players. With all those great offensive linemen and the quarterbacks and all those wide receivers that could go, I don't see how you're getting 11 defensive players unless there's a couple of real surprises out there. So top 10? That's +550. Yeah. I mean, if you think there's going to be this run on quarterbacks and guys are going to move up and go get McCarthy or whatever, I mean, you got two automatics in Daniels and Williams. You got two automatics in the wide receivers, Neighbors and Harrison. That's four. You probably got two automatics in fat offensive linemen. That's six. You know, you're probably going to have to sweat out about two draft choices, but I don't think anyone's moving up to draft the defensive player, Joe. So I actually like that +550, no top 10.
Yeah, not bad. It's worth the shot. Here's another one. We left off talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Giants and Jets respectively taking wide receivers. I mentioned Brock Bowers. All mock reports and drafts. Some have him going number 10 to the New York Jets. Others have him at top 17 or 15 to the Colts. If you believe he's going to the Colts, Scott, a la Dallas Clark back in the day, plus 260. I don't think that's good value, to be honest with you. 260 to the Colts? I don't expect Bowers to fall that much.
Yeah. His over-under is 12.5, and the under is minus 250. So basically, they're telling you he's going to go in the top 10, 11, 12 picks. So unless they move up. Again, this is moving up. It's not the 12th selection. So could they move up? I don't think you move up to go get Brock.
Well, they have Bowers, Cincinnati though. In the mixes, too, plus the 260. Cincinnati needs tight end help. So you're talking the Colts and Bengals. I think he's got a better shot at the Bengals than he does the Colts.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to last that long. Right? What are the Bengals, around 20 or so? Where's my list here? He's not going to be there. Cincinnati is 18. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be there. Colts 15, Bengals 18.
All right, here's another one because you're high on the offensive linemen. Some of them I can't pronounce their name. The kid from Oregon State. We'll just keep it like that, right? But think this. Yep. Three offensive linemen to be in the top 10. I actually think at 75-1, I'm willing to take a shot that somebody trades up to get Alt at number 3 just to be an outlier. 75-1, but 2-1 to have three offensive linemen taken in the top 10.
Ooh, I was going to say, if you were going to say top three, first round, I was like, whoa, where do I sign? Top 10. I don't think you're going to get that. What's the under?
No, it's just flat, 2-1.
Yeah, fat figures. I hate these bets, but you can't bet the no. You can only bet the yes. It's not fair.
Sold. Give me the no. Yeah. How many do you want? Oh, we'll be locked and loaded tonight. It. Draft starts at 8, Sports Grid on at 7:30 for Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Denny Ohlers. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tonight. We'll see you tomorrow. We're just getting started, baby.